It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Tuesday, September 28, 2010. I'm John Moe. The government of Iran says a new nuclear plant will open on schedule in October, this despite an infection from a computer worm called Stuxnet. Like all computer worms, it gets into a machine secretly and is programmed to cause damage. But Stuxnet is a different beast than we've seen before. It goes after infrastructure, power plants, for instance. Kim Zetter is a reporter with Wired.com. She says there's a lot we don't know about Stuxnet.
We do know, though, that it's focusing on the kinds of processes that are mission critical, meaning that they are targeting systems that are either fast-moving or under high-pressure situations. So, for instance, a fast-moving turbine or a high-pressure situation, for instance, in a nuclear plant. And what Stuxnet seems to be doing is intercepting the communication to the controller and then inserting its own commands. So it could be that it's instructing the system to self-destruct. It could be that it's also disabling alarms that would sound when that kind of thing happens.
So whereas a lot of malware gets in and might screw around with the files that are on a computer or mess with electronic things, the difference here is that it's making the leap to the controls of physical operations.
Yes, it's possible that it could cause some kind of physical destruction at the site where the software is operating.
That's Kim Zetter. Physical destruction, potentially. Jerry Egan is with the online security firm Symantec. They're releasing a report tomorrow on Stuxnet. He says it's not just the targeting of the infrastructure that makes this different.
The level of sophistication that has gone into this is not something that the average hacker would have in their front bedroom or garage. It required expertise on these industrial control systems. It required expertise on the communication mechanisms. It needed a detailed understanding of the Windows operating system. The bug was discovered by an attacker and put to use before the rest of the world knew about it. You know, whoever was behind it was well organized and well funded.
Jerry Egan from Symantec. This worm is targeting a type of controller made by Siemens. The worm is hitting computers in India, Indonesia, some small cases in the U.S. Recent reports suggest Iran has been hit hardest, but Kim Zetter says right now that's just speculation.
It could be that Iran systems are more vulnerable to the attack. It could be that other systems are more secure.
So, I mean, Iran isn't known for being the most open of countries, but if Iran gets really screwed up by this, what does that mean for the rest of us in terms of cybersecurity?
Well, I think what this incident points to is the vulnerability of systems, particularly that are in critical infrastructure. The Siemens system actually was using a default password that had been posted on the internet for 2 years. This is a problem that's not just with the Siemens products. My understanding in talking with other people is that there are a number of products out there that are in critical infrastructures that have hard-coded passwords in them.
Hard-coded meaning that the administrator can't change them.
Exactly, yes. It's a kind of a default password, and it's in the system, and if you change the password, then the system itself wouldn't operate correctly.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
We have much more on this story at our website, marketplacetech.org. Other stories we're following online. Research in Motion, the company that makes BlackBerry, announced the Playbook, a tablet computer to compete with the iPad. 7-inch screen, rear and front-facing cameras, goes on sale early next year. And The New Yorker is available as an iPad app, $5 an issue, all the articles and cartoons. Downside, on an iPad, you can't pretentiously arrange back issues in a fan pattern on your coffee table. Producer Larissa Anderson is here.
John, we've heard about these 33 miners trapped underground in Chile.
Right. They're stuck down there till November, but they're all alive and it looks like they're going to be okay.
And while they're down there, they're able to get food, water, they can use phones, they can even watch movies. But a psychiatrist working on the rescue says they can't play video games. No video games. Mm. Claims they're too isolating. And what the miners really need right now is to be together.
They need to bond together because that's what helped them in the first place. It's interesting, though, when you get to this point of what is okay and what's not okay. They're watching The Curious Case of Benjamin Button down there, but they're not allowed to play any video games, and they're not allowed to smoke or drink.
I don't know. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button was pretty rough for me to watch.
I think that,
and death and mortality.
I think that would make being trapped in a mine even worse than playing Halo. But what do I know? I'm no Chilean psychologist. You can read more about this at marketplacetech.org. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.